Welcome to TMI Today with Rita Bocuzzi and Jen Lee. In this podcast, there is no such thing as too much information. We are diving into all of the taboo topics, from money and careers to relationships and parenting to whatever else we've been too afraid to discuss as women. Listen in and join the movement as we raise each other up in our everyday lives.
All right. Welcome to another episode of TMI, Today's Motivational Insights with Jen Lee, financial stress attorney extraordinaire, I like to say, and Rita Bocuzzi. I'm also known as Mama Rita Money. I'm a money expert and financial consultant. We're just coming to you with, you know, life skill tips that we think are so important that everybody gets to learn today. And we have a fun topic. So let's see
if it's so fun.
Money myths and misconceptions. So say that five times fast, right, Jen?
Money myths and misconceptions. No, I can't do it. I'll start blowing it up. But yes, it's one of those topics that's tongue twisty and mind twisty too sometimes.
Isn't it? Agree. Mind twisty for sure.
Yeah. So Rita, I have to ask you, because you're Mama Rita. Mm-hmm. What do you see as this number one myth out there? I know we've talked about this before, so.
Yes, that you have to risk your money to make money.
You don't have to do that? You don't have to invest in crazy assets to do this?
No.
So what are some examples of this? What do you see people risking their money to try to make money?
You know, I want to kind of give a little bit of foundation to it, because most of us, like I said, we're raised up, and most of us just know about the banker, right?
Right.
So, and that's what our parents know. And I'm going to say the other myth is that our parents should have taught us, you know, this is the sub myth within the myth, if you will, but they don't know, and they were never taught. So how can we expect them? So it really is up to us. And so, you know, you go to the banker and you just set up, you know, there's different kinds of money, right? There's this risk and safe. And you put money into the market, but do you really understand what that will do? Mm-hmm. And is that the goal and purpose of your money? So these are some of the questions you get to ask yourself ever before you go in front of a financial professional. Mm-hmm. So, and what are the options? Are there ways to grow your money and never lose it? Well, yes. And what are the trade-offs for that, right?
So, because there's in betweens too. It's not just put all your money here and it's all at risk, or put it all here and you don't make anything. It's like a spectrum.
It's a spectrum. And the majority of us has been taught it's one or the other, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, I'll share my story. You know, my parents, and I talk about it a lot. And it was so interesting. I'm going to share an insight, because I just got little chills going up and down my arms. Because this weekend, I had this little conversation with my mom after I spoke at an event, you know, for hundreds of people to teach them. And I mentioned to her about the fact that parents not teaching their kids, and they used to have Money Monday dates. And she's like, yeah, we taught you as much as we could. But I said, but you didn't share everything with me. Like, you didn't really sit down. You guys had your dates, but you didn't include us.
Right.
And she goes, because we didn't want to burden you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes parents aren't telling the kids, because they don't want to burden them with the responsibilities of adulthood. And so sometimes it may be an act of love, not of omission. Right.
I'm not intending to do that.
Yeah. Hence another myth.
Right. Like the one I hear all the time, whenever I'm speaking at groups about financial stress and how people get into debt and they don't know how to get out type of thing. Everyone says, well, why don't schools teach this? Schools should be teaching financial literacy, and it's the school's fault that our kids don't know these things. Why is that a myth, Rita?
Because it's lack of accountability on our part. We're pointing the finger. And when you're pointing the finger, there's one out and three back at you. Some of you probably already know that. But those are cool clues. If that's a repetition of something, you know, that's validation, because it's truth. So I always ask, how many centuries do we want to wait for schools to teach this to us? And I'm being, you know, a little tongue in cheek with that.
Right.
And I get that some schools are starting to do that, private schools I'm hearing, but to what degree, right? And so really, if you get this aha moment, like I did when I had cancer and I thought, mm-hmm. boy, if something happens to me, my kids won't know. And I'll be in the same realm of, at the time, I was like, my parents aren't teaching me. So I thought, oh, I don't want to have my kids be, say, repeating history in that way. So I started yep. getting books. You like go, I went to the, as soon as I was healthy, I went to the millionaire section of the library mm-hmm. and got every book written, right? If you want to know, if you want to get good at being a lawyer, what do?
You read a lot.
You read a lot. And then if you're specialized, what do you do?
You're specialized reading. You get down
and you read a lot more.
you get down in the nitty gritty details of things, figure out what works and what doesn't. Yeah, right. It's true.
And what I love about TMI and what we're doing here is we want to, this is so normal and so natural in our lives that we get mm-hmm. to break patterns that we've created. Right. We get to uncreate them. You know, there's this little phrase, we get to grow from what we know. Mm-hmm. And then the more, one of the things that they say, how do experts become experts? They usually have 10,000 hours mm-hmm. of experience or study in a topic or both actually, right? Mm-hmm. So how many hours have you been in study or on a date with your money?
And it goes back to too, with the schools teaching. So I hear this all the time too, that schools should be teaching this, but what that does besides accountability, you also want your kids to learn good habits. And we have a whole episode on talking to your kids about money. But what I want people to realize is I see generational issues where one generation doesn't talk about money and then the next generation doesn't talk about it. And it's the same problems. So right. It's almost the exact same issue that I see when I talk to grandma, when I talk to dad, and when I talk to the mm-hmm. kid. And so if you think you're not teaching your kids about money, you're wrong. You are teaching them about money, but yes. sometimes you're not teaching them the right things about money. And so the wow. burden isn't that you don't want to push adult problems on them, but you also want the burden of knowing what they know and teaching them what they need to know instead of letting someone else do it.
That's an amazing point. That's right. You are modeling your money story, whether you realize it or not, for people to take on. That is exactly. So super huge. And you don't want, oh, go ahead.
You don't well, no, them. And you don't want them to repeat. So like if you're constantly telling, you know, your family, oh, I can't afford that, I can't do that, that's what they then think, is you can't afford, then you start thinking that. So it's like this self-perpetuating cycle of, I can't do this. I love
that. Yeah. So that story, right, uh-huh. about the I can't afford it.
Yeah. Ugh.
I may have mentioned this story before, but I ended up having to learn from a class, you know, go out and look at pricings of things and see how things made you feel. Walk mm-hmm. through multi-million now dollar homes. How does that make you feel? Are you worthy? Like, what are the stories that are coming up? It's really telling.
Yep.
And then you can break through them, because I'm going to say a lot of times they're lies that we tell ourselves, right? They're these little lies.
They're lies you tell yourself to protect yourself. Like yeah. you're trying to protect your psyche sometimes.
And
so yeah.
So back to like, see, and it circles back.
It's a, does,
yeah. Schools need to teach us means that we're kind of being in that little bit of a protective state
yep.
because we don't know. So we get to know with simple things. I mean, I will give a couple tips, just reading. We just said that reading, to your library or doing audibles, right? And now there's more books on this than ever before. And go to groups that are free, like on Meetup or whatever is available nowadays, or Googling meetings.
Yeah.
And just show up, or even go start asking basic questions to financial professionals, saying, I'm in my exploration phase.
Yep.
I'm preparing for what I need to do. Right. So that this way you learn, and you yep. learn so much by that.
Find people who will talk about money, because we are out there. We'll talk about money, and there are some people who won't. And so Meetup is a great place. I found some fantastic groups on Meetup talking about different types of investing and basic money and things like that. So there that's a really good suggestion. Groups.
And yeah. some of them have fun, like Wine, Women, and Wealth. I mean,
yes. So what could be more fun than that?
Right. So Jen, I want to ask you a little bit about, like, you know, when we talk about money like this, mm-hmm. what are some of the fads maybe that may be coming up, right? There are trends with money sometimes that people follow.
It's so interesting these days with the internet, what it is, how quickly news spreads. And so sometimes you see someone saying, oh, I'm going to get my salary in crypto. I've seen that a couple of times. You see some famous people saying they're going to take their salary in crypto. And what you have to realize with some of that is that they can afford to do that because they have other assets. They're not investing all of their assets into very risky, going back to our number one myth is you have to risk everything, right? And so, and then I often see people trying to use debt to leverage assets. They think that's how rich people got rich, is by leveraging, which is true, but it's also a really great way to lose your everything, because if you don't do it correctly and you just start borrowing money without a plan, it becomes very, and I've seen people come in and say, oh, well, such and such famous person did this and he borrowed money from, you know, the government and got all these assets. I'm like, no, that's not how it happened. you didn't see the background.
You're just seeing the surface story. So you really dig deep, right? Yeah. I agree. It's interesting that, the things that we're learning and following wealthy people, there's backstories in the sense of what they've structured, the reserves that they already have. And I'm going to say one of the things that I know that when I teach about two financial houses, right? And there's the house that the bottom floor, the foundation, is where wealth is grown in a protected state first,
right?
And then put it in accumulation state. And I'm going to say, unfortunately, today we are sold and told in media and social media, accountability, grow, right? So one simple thing, and so that as you're hearing, you're going to hear repetition in what we're doing. So it gets to be super easy and repetitive so that you get to learn it. Mm-hmm. You know, when there's a potential for growth, wealthy people always mitigate risk.
Exactly.
So you know that there is an equal potential for the risk. Can you afford that risk? Do you have the reserves for that risk? If not, then that's not the place for you. I'm going to be really bold and say that statement right here, because it's not the place for you. Because then that's where people end up in your hands right there, right?
Exactly. And I often tell people when they're talking about borrowing or lending money to friends and family, and it's the same thing, like the risk associated with it is very high. And if it's money that you never want to see again, or you could never see again and still be just fine, then you're probably at a place where your assets support that kind of investment.
Yes. And I'm going to add to this because I've heard it like this before.
Yes.
It's a gift. And if you don't view it as a gift, then walk away. Yep. And if you want to do something, do what you can, right? Mm-hmm. Not just like you explained, do what you can. Otherwise, if you don't view it as, hey, I'm gifting this person, you could put the label loan on it, but it is a gift.
And it's super risky.
Relationship's good.
Exactly. And it's risky because you're not evaluating credit history. You're going on emotions. We talk about emotional side of money a lot. And so that's something to keep in mind too, when you look at the riskiness of something, is can I live without this if I never got this back?
And yeah. I mean, one of those first stories, and it's so funny because it does circle all around, is when, you know, I was learning and I set up my accounts in the bank for retirement. Yeah. You know, I did that at 18, which is pretty dang good because my parents modeled saving.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought, well, I'm going to save now for the future because I expect to live to 120, happy, healthy, insane. I know a lot of people think that's insane when I say that, but you get to have fun with it. And I just remember, you know, I set up my accounts. I was super proud of myself, saving money. And then at 33, you know, because it's a timing thing that we do not have crystal balls for. I don't know about all y'all, but most of us do not have crystal balls. And when the market hit down, I didn't even realize that I was in the market, you know, and only to be told, oh, don't worry, you're young, sweetie, it'll come back. And I'm thinking, wait, it wasn't just the money. For me, it was really about the years. 15 years of hard. What about the like, even let's look at this year. Let's look at the 65 year olds that wanted to retire this year that are not, that are hoping it's going to come back and they don't know when. And oh my gosh, this repeated in 2001 and 2008. And here we are again. It's happening.
It's a cycle.
So it does happen. It's a cycle. Are you prepared for the cycle to hit when you need it most? Yep. Right. That's, you know, it's just basic. Only you have the most value for you, and you And I say, you get to learn and it gets to be good and easy. And we get to do things like what I call swan plan. I have swan plans where we sleep well at night, you know, swan. I love sleeping well at night. I know you do too, Jen.
I do too.
And you help your clients do that as well. It's so much fun.
So what are the other one of the misconceptions I want to talk about real quick, because it's my area of, I hear this all the time, is you have to pay off all of your debt before you can start saving. That's totally untrue. No. You should always have some savings. And if you're to the point where you can't pay your debt and have savings, then you have a debt problem, because you should always be saving money.
I so love, I just got goosebumps again, validation of that, because I did learn that personally. And I, you know, we're here to share genuinely, honestly, if we can share these stories, whether we feel like we look like we made a mistake or not, we learn and we get to learn together. And if I can help somebody else from not doing this, it's so important what you're saying right now. So when I got sick with cancer, what we did is, you know, we paid off all our reserves and debts, right? With what we had, because like once I started to acquire all the money back after having cancer, what I call financial cancer, right? So we paid off all the debt and I was super excited and my savings was zero. So you know what I did? I kept on doing what I was doing, which was studying and investing in schooling and stuff, only to be in debt again at a bigger amount.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought, oh man, this can't be like this, you know? So what I did, you know, it was, for me, it became obvious. It's like, I have to have some savings at the same time. And this is a big question with my clients too. Rita, do I just pay off all my debt? I said, do you like being at zero at the end of the day? No, most of us mentally, that is not how your brain works. So at the end of this, you know, not only did I pay off most of my debt, I had this huge savings as this process that I was going through. And I felt more positive, more motivated, and didn't have a victim mentality, because it was very disempowering.
Well, and a lot of times too, with when you have debt and you don't have any savings, you're going to get into more debt because you don't have anything to fall back on. And even if it's when you're 18, putting 3% or 5% into your 401k because your company matches it, do that. No matter what, come up with a budget that does that, because if you are saving from early on like that, it makes so much more money later on in life if you have that sitting there. And so I tell people all the time, save. You can't afford to save, then you have a budget, an income problem, or a debt problem. We need to solve that. So
And with the excess, because I'm just going to quick say, with the excess money, say you can afford to put more in above, that's a conversation to have about where the money really works best for you.
Exactly.
A lot of times people put all of it in there and they got to understand now all that rest of it is, I say, completely exposed to risk. And you get to learn, is that the best spot or is there a place where you can grow that money and never lose it and have better outcomes potentially in the future, right?
Yep, so, it's not all or nothing.
It's not all or nothing. We have choices. We have choices, which is exciting. Wow, this is so exciting and went so fast today.
It always does. It goes so fast. Whenever we talk about money, money goes fast. Talking goes fast. So.
And it comes just as fast too.
It does. It comes into your life.
Yep.
So, well, thank you, Rita, for talking about money myths and misconceptions. I'm going to say that correctly.
Thank you for saying that, Jen. My tongue keeps on getting twisted, so I appreciate that. And we hope you had fun learning today, because that's another thing. You can hear us laughing and joy around it. And money is a currency to be experienced with positivity, love, and joy. So thank you, Jen, for today.
Yep. Thank you, Rita.